Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our tech podcast by Bosch Rexroth. My name is Robert Weber, and my guest today is Vladimir Kamschitsky. Hello, Vladimir. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Today, we want to talk about self-contained actuators. But before we start, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Sure, I'll stick to the briefly.
Yes, absolutely.
So my name is Vladimir Kamschitsky. I have a background in mechanical engineering, and I've been working as an engineer for about now 10 years.
Okay.
I've seen multiple industries. I've been in medical, technology, factory automation, construction machinery, and currently I'm in industrial hydraulics.
Okay.
I guess what all roles had in common was a focus on product management, and this is also what I'm doing today. So I'm responsible for all linear hydraulic movement in our company, which are cylinders, actuator solutions, and of course, self-contained actuators you just mentioned.
When did you first come into contact with hydraulics?
I guess being a child, I liked building Legos, and I probably still do a little bit.
But this is not hydraulic Lego, is it pneumatic?
It's true, but it's still the same way how it works, right? You have tiny cylinders, you have hoses, you have a small pump, so it kind of works the same way. But talking about actual real hydraulics, I guess it was with Rexroth. So when back in college or university, I was taking or part of a program where we were taken to different innovation leaders and had plant tours and were just looking at different companies. And this was probably back in 2010, where I had the chance to get a plant tour here at Rexroth in Lohr, which was way before I started here. So I guess the first time really with Rexroth.
So let's start with a definition. What is the difference between electromechanical and self-contained actuators?
That's a great question. Let me kind of try to explain that. Starting with electromechanical actuators, I'm talking about the topology or the way how they work. We usually start with an electric motor.
Yep.
The torque that is being created is then translated over gears or a belt system into usually a ball screw that is creating the linear movement. Maybe one step in between before we go to the self-contained actuators.
Well, we see the electromechanical in the industrial automation field.
Yeah, mostly. quite a lot, right? And they also vary in sizes and forces and speeds, but yes, mostly on the factory automation side. One step in between are electro-hydraulic solutions. It also starts with electrical motor, but the big difference is that you would usually have a hydraulic pump flanged to it, and then the force or the fluid would be transmitted through a manifold or hoses or pipes and go to a classical or more or less classical hydraulic cylinder that would create the linear movement.
This is a classical hydraulic approach, right?
Correct. It's still a little bit more contained, so you wouldn't have necessarily somewhere a central power pack or something like this, but it's still, you know, not what we would call a self-contained actuator. What comes on top with a self-contained actuator is that it's still the same electro-hydraulic solution, but we would add more functions into it. We would have usually frequency variable electric motor, so a servo motor. So now we are starting to get into servo hydraulics. We would add more functions like a safety function. We would add, for example, a tank or other valves. And what even some actuators have on top is a frequency converter that is directly mounted onto the actuator.
Why do I need this?
It solves a lot of customer issues.
What is the customer's pain points?
Depending on where a customer is coming from, but in general, it is robustness. It is the need to create higher forces and I guess have a very tight requirement for positioning or repeatability in the system.
Mm-hmm. And which industrial sectors are you focused on with your actuators?
I guess let me call out two. A lot of our customers are coming from kind of a heavier industry application using hydraulics as a standard, and they're trying to electrify their machines. They have worked out a way how to electrify a lot of smaller functions, but one usually crucial function that requires high forces or high capability for shock absorption is significantly harder to electrify. So when finding out about self-contained actuators, they're usually amazed what a great bridging technology this can be between a classical hydraulic system and then on the other side, electromechanical system.
So you combine both worlds?
Correct.
Okay. But how do you manage that?
In terms of automation, really, a whole machine or machine OEM or machine builder would see a self-contained actuator just as a servo actuator.
Okay.
Because it's driven and controlled in the same way over a frequency converter. How the power transmission is happening afterwards isn't too important for the control architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for a servo drive, it doesn't matter if a pump is connected or if an electric motor is connected to a pump
mm-hmm.
or to a belt that is driving a linear movement.
So do you have specialized actuators or do you have one actuators for different industrial sectors? Or do you offer different actuators for different industrial sectors?
We have multiple actuators today, but I guess let me go back a couple of years ago and explain you how it started a little bit. I think in the past we were approached in general by a customer who told us, look, we have an issue. Can you help us solving it?
Mm-hmm.
And over a lot of those customers approaching us, we were able to identify patterns. And
which patterns?
In terms of, well, this is my force requirement, this is my speed requirement, this is my function requirement. And we were able to combine them into, let me call them sweet spots,
mm-hmm.
where we could build a standard portfolio around them. So we have a smaller actuator that is serving smaller customer needs in terms of force, speed, functions. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of scales up in terms of forces, in terms of function, and so on. So today we are in a greater spot that we were probably a couple of years ago. And when a customer is approaching us, we can either offer them a standard catalog solution, telling them, look, this is what works for a lot of customers and it's a great solution. Or on the other side, we would tell them, you are going to build 10, 30, 50 machines.
Mm-hmm.
We think a catalog product might work good for you, but let's invest a little bit of time to make even a greater product because your machine would greatly benefit from that.
What is a typical use case in the industrial sector for self-contained actuators?
Yeah, so I mentioned the case about a customer getting away from centralized hydraulics.
Sure,
right?
But maybe a little bit more detailed.
Another one is if we have a customer who is, let's say, having a joining application,
okay.
right? And he used to have a joining process with electromechanical solution, so now getting bigger in size, or a forming application or bending something, for example. And now he wants to expand into bigger parts or more complicated process. And then he is basically running out of energy reserves or power reserves or force reserves for his specific process, mm-hmm. where electromechanical products just can't serve this machine anymore. So he's looking for a bigger or technology to realize bigger forces
mm-hmm.
because he wants to optimize his machine in terms of, now I want to make a bigger part, or I want to press in a bigger bearing or whatever it might be, or he wants to do it quicker or more robust. So this is really outgrowing existing technology.
Is it also possible to use your actuators as a retrofit for existing machines?
Yeah, we are seeing that actually also a lot. We have customers or machine builders who have produced a generation of, I don't know, presses, for example, over the last 20, 30 years. And they are still working great today, but customers are asking, do you have anything to offer to optimize energy consumption or to improve the machine somehow? And this is where self-contained actuators can also shine, because we can basically come into an existing solution mm-hmm. and replace a hydraulic cylinder with a central manifold somewhere and just put
How difficult is that?
It's actually not too difficult, okay. I would say. We can
never change a running system.
Yeah, that's true, as long as you're happy or as long as it's running for you. But if a customer sees energy prices going up and just a system starting to feel a little bit outdated after 20 or 30 years of usage, where he wants to have more data out of the system, less energy consumption, so he can still stick to his quite expensive, to be honest, and complicated frame of a machine and just retrofit the hydraulics and the control architecture, which is still simpler for him to do. And working together with OEMs, we are really opening a door for them because they can offer this to their customers.
Who calls you, the OEM or the machine building company? Because from my point of view, a lot of machine building companies sell their machine and say, we see each other in 30 years again. Is it more driven by the OEM or by the machine building companies?
I think it's both.
Okay.
Well, and obviously we are interested in both kinds of businesses,
true.
Right? If an OEM is coming along our way, it might be easier for us on the application side because he knows all the parameters of the machine, and we would work out a solution for him. And then he's going after his customers and is retrofitting or upgrading their machines. On the other side, if we never know. Maybe the OEM went out of business 10 years ago and the customer is interested in retrofitting his machine. So then the customer would approach us directly.
Okay. You mentioned centralized and decentralized or versus decentralized. What does it mean for the PLC and for the control system of the machine, and how is it connected to the actuators? How difficult is it to control it?
I feel you're touching on the topic modularization a little bit. And this has been around probably as long as I've been around, I guess. So it's not the newest topic or the most...
But it's very important.
Challenging one. And a lot of those modularization requests can be solved with a smartly designed central hydraulic system where you can upscale power unit, you can make it more flexible. But of course, it is a little bit easier to realize with self-contained actuators, because what you can do is that you can make pretty much every single module of a machine self-sufficient or running by itself. So you have an actuator in every module and you don't need hydraulic piping that is connecting all of them. You pretty much just need an electrical power cord and a data cord to make this actuator run. And in terms of control architecture, I guess it's a very big advantage for us being Rexroth, because what we have, and I guess that makes us a little bit unique in this field, is we just don't have a great portfolio of hydraulic components like pumps, cylinders, motors, and so on. But we also have a great portfolio
of electronic, mechanical.
Right. And automation parts, right? So we have drives, we have frequency converters, we have controls. So when making sure that this decentralized control architecture works across the machine, we are just benefiting that we are using all of our components, which are designed in a way to work great with each other and also across multiple modules of a machine.
In which applications where you see new business rising at the horizon, in which applications you see the possibility to use actuators?
That's kind of interesting you're mentioning that. There are a lot of new industries or developing industries that have not been around a couple of years ago or
for
now.
For example, battery?
Battery, for example, right? So we do see battery manufacturing as one aspect. We see in some, let's say, electronics production processes, higher forces being demanded. Even the topic hydrogen is an interesting one where we have usage of self-contained actuators to increase the pressure or to compress hydrogen. So it's a big variety of different applications that we see big future for this product in.
What are the next steps for you personally and for your team?
I mentioned that we came historically from a point where every single customer approached us with a very different issue where we needed to make it work for them. Now we are at the point where we have some standards established. But I think comparing those couple of standards we have to a more mature portfolio is that those standards are still pretty limited in numbers. So I think going forward, we will see a higher variety of self-contained actuators, starting with, I guess, smaller than we are starting today and maybe ending bigger than we are ending today. So just, I guess, expanding the portfolio is one of the keywords.
And if I have a special wish as a customer, it's also possible to solve my special wish.
Of course, yeah. As I mentioned, if we have a customer who's looking to build 30, 50, 100 machines, they can greatly benefit from a more custom design. If he wants to make his machine very close to a standard catalog solution, but maybe just 5 or 10% quicker, that's something we can do, and he will greatly benefit from that. On the other side, if he feels that the catalog solution might be slightly too over-engineered for him or a little bit too sophisticated, we can start pulling out features, which makes his machine, on the other hand, more competitive in the market, depending how he wants to position it.
What are your personal next steps?
Oh, my personal next steps? I'm not sure. Today is Monday, right? So we still have a couple of days going forward in this week. But no, I'm very excited to see, in general, I guess, this portfolio growing and becoming more important for Rexroth as a product area, but also for the automation business as a technology.
Thank you, Robert Mir. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.